The Constitution gives Congress the power to declare war, but modern presidents have asserted broad authority to use force, and Congress has done little to push back, including last week when lawmakers voted down a resolution to halt President Trump's military action against Iran. NPR congressional reporter Sam Greenglass looks at how that relationship has evolved.
One debate over President Trump's campaign against Iran is whether it is lawful.
We shouldn't be at war without a debate and vote. That was what the framers intended.
That's Democratic Senator Tim Kaine. This is Secretary of State Marco Rubio after briefing lawmakers.
We've overcomplied with the law. This is an action by the president to address a real threat.
The Constitution says the president is commander-in-chief. It also says the power to declare war rests with Congress. But actually making that delineation in practice has proven complicated and contested. To understand how that happened, it helps to go back to the early days of the Republic. And to do that, I turn to two experts on war powers, Yale University law professor Ona Hathaway and Columbia University law professor Matthew Waxman. Waxman says this separation of power didn't create much tension at first.
There just wasn't much of a standing force, so the president would need to go to Congress to fund military campaigns abroad.
That's what presidents did up through Franklin D. Roosevelt in World War II, the last time a president asked Congress for a formal declaration of war.
I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack.
The U.S. emerged from that war as a global superpower with nuclear weapons, Hathaway says.
So these are fundamental changes in the nature both of war, the role of the United States in the world, and the relationship, therefore, between Congress and the president.
This shifting relationship was tested in 1950 when President Harry Truman deployed troops without approval after communist North Korea invaded the South.
Korea is a small country. Thousands of miles away. But what is happening there is important to every American.
Waxman says that turned into a grueling 3-year war.
And it really stands out as the high watermark of presidential unilateralism.
So in 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson did ask Congress to authorize escalating involvement in Vietnam after U.S. ships were attacked in the Gulf of Tonkin.
That I shall immediately request the Congress to pass a resolution making it clear that our government is united.
But President Richard Nixon's secret bombing operation in Cambodia starting in 1969 sparked congressional hearings and the War Powers Resolution of 1973.
What Congress was really trying to do there was put itself back into the game to assert its constitutional role.
The War Powers Resolution requires the president to notify Congress within 48 hours of introducing U.S. forces into hostilities. It also gives Congress a tool to halt U.S. involvement subject to presidential veto, and requires the president pull back within 60 days if there's been no congressional authorization. What can make things murky, Hathaway says, is that Congress declining to order withdrawal is not the same as authorizing the use of force.
It's sometimes misunderstood as effectively giving the president a blank check for 60 days.
Presidents have largely complied with notifying lawmakers and have gone to Congress to authorize wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Tonight, we are a country awakened to danger and called to defend freedom.
But presidents have also pushed the boundaries of their power to take action in certain circumstances, interpreting words like hostilities and imminent threat to fit their purposes. Without Congress, strikes were ordered by Presidents Clinton in Kosovo, Trump in Syria, Biden in Yemen, and Obama in Libya.
But when our interests and values are at stake, we have a responsibility to act.
But Waxman and Hathaway say Trump is now taking a greater constitutional leap.
Starting a war in the Middle East that's now involving more than a dozen countries is war in the constitutional sense.
The courts have mostly avoided weighing in on debates over war powers, leaving Congress to guard its own authority.
We've seen presidents generally asserting prerogative and Congress being pretty acquiescent. Oftentimes it's preferable for members of Congress to sit back and support the president or criticize the president, depending on how those operations go.
For now, at least, that's the position of most Republicans and a few Democrats in Congress. But that calculus could change if this conflict stretches on and the sacrifices it requires grow. Sam Greenglass, NPR News, Washington.